Welcome to Real Money Radio, the show that focuses on real people, real problems, and real solutions. Here's your host, certified financial planner, David Holland.
And we're back. How about that? Hey, listen, I'm excited. I've got a returning guest. I like when they come back because, number one, we can check in with them, see what they're up to. And two, they come back with some interesting new stuff. So Chris Miles is on the line with me, and Chris is a he's a different kind of guy in a good way. He helps people look at their finances and look at them from a different perspective and help them find money. Imagine that. I'm not talking about cleaning out your sock drawer. Oh, yeah, I forgot I hid that money. You know that secret 20 you hide in your wallet from yourself? I don't know. If you hide it from yourself, how do you know it's there? But anyway, my wife always seems to find hers when she needs it. But anyway, we're going to talk about ways to free up cash. And so Chris has his own radio podcast program, the Chris Miles Money Show. And we're going to refer to his website, which has got some cool stuff on it. Ready? The website is moneyripples.com. And he's got a ebook you can download, Beyond Rice and Beans, 7 Secrets to Free Up Cash Today. I like that. Because, you know, if you're making money with your investments or you've got a plan or you're working or whatever you're doing, or you've just got your act together, are there things you can do to improve? Are there things you can do to save and make the most of your money? That's why we wanted Chris to come on. So, Chris, with that nice elongated introduction, welcome back.
Hey, thanks for having me back on. It's been a while.
My pleasure. Yeah, well, just take me on the road with you and I'll introduce you to every program you do. How about that?
Sounds great.
Nah, you don't want to do that. All right. So listen, let's dive in here. So you help people, and I really think it's interesting what you do. It's definitely a little different angle or approach to this whole world of finance. And I know you spent time as a traditional advisor, and you've kind of evolved, you know, kind of like those Pokemon, you know, you kind of evolved into that more powerful version maybe. And, you know, you got more flames on top of your head. I don't know, but I think it's neat what you've done. And so give people a little bit of perspective about what you do and helping people. When you say find money, you know, and help them free up money, what does that mean? Tell them your story.
Yeah. So really in a nutshell, what it means is that either we find money that's from expenses that shouldn't be there. Okay. And I'm not just talking about being cheap, like living off rice and beans. I mean, like, just, you know, you might be overpaying your taxes, right? Or you're just not tracking your money closely enough to know where money goes. And when you don't track it, when you don't pay attention, things tend to disappear, right? You know, it might be things like you're overpaying a different insurance cost, or, you know, you're overpaying in different areas. Or it also could mean the money that you're not making, that you're not earning that you should be. Because that's the one thing I've noticed, that you can only cut expenses down so far, but income is limitless. You know, So where can we find that kind of money? Like, where can we find money that you're really losing, whether you've never see it in the first place because you're not earning it, or money that we could be freeing up because it's being spent in ways that you shouldn't be spending it, like the ways you don't want to be spending it.
So it's all about the cash flow.
All about the cash flow.
Yeah, increase what comes in if you can do that, and then stop what goes out and enjoy the net.
Right, exactly.
Yeah. All right, that makes sense. So I'm just really curious, what are some of the top leaks, you call them financial leaks or money leaks, what are some of the top leaks that you've seen that may surprise people, that either that they may not, it may be so obvious that they don't see it, it's right in front of them, or things that may be a little more bizarre or unusual that you've seen in your career?
Yeah, for sure. You know, my average client frees up about $33,000 a year, whether it be money that they earn or money that they free up, right? Of that, I mean, definitely income is one that's a common one. Is how we find money to make. You know, give you an example. I had a client where he had $50,000 sitting in a college savings plan, and he was wondering what to do with it. He was trying to figure out, hey, how do I make this grow? I've only got about 5 or 6 years before my kid's in college. How do I make this grow so that it can actually be something significant? Because $50,000 is just not enough for college. That was his opinion. And so we started talking about it, and we said, hey, if the market smiles at you just the right way, this might even get up to $70,000 by the time he goes to college.
Right.
And then he's talking about 15 minutes later, he mentioned how in his business, he was a chiropractor, he mentioned in his business that he could start up an office for, you know, with $30,000 or $40,000, and then after a couple of years, build it up to the point where he could sell it for $250,000 to another chiropractor.
Wow.
And I told him, I said, hey, play with me here, because your whole point is to be able to have this money make money. what if you used your college savings plan? What if you used that, your kids' college savings plan here, use that to start up an office? 3 years later, you turn around and sell it for $250,000. Because he said, he's like, I've done this repeatedly. Like, it's down to a system. I said, great, even better. that we can control. That we can guarantee. I can't control the markets, but that, you know, his ability to create is something that we've got control and freedom over. But I said, wonderful. Let's do that. And so, why don't you take that money, make $250,000 for 3 years, do it again, and then 2 or 3 years later, sell that for another $250,000. You're making $500,000 with less than $50,000. And it blew his mind because he said, wow, I could do that? Well, of course you can. Like, your money, what's the whole purpose of your money? Well, hopefully to make more money so that I can, you know, create some freedom.
Right.
Well, there you go.
Right. And did it work?
His purpose.
Did he do it?
It did. Yeah, he actually did it. He's now in the second round of it.
Wow.
He's only gotten to the first round so far. But
okay. Well, that, you know, that.
Even if he did nothing else, that would still been awesome.
Right. Well, that, so. To get to some of these, you know, increased cash flows, I think a lot of what I'm kind of picking up on here, Chris, is it's thinking outside the box, thinking outside of the traditional, you know, invest the money at a whopping 1% at the bank or rolling the dice, so to speak, with the market when, you know, you've got something more tangible that, especially if it fits with your own personal situation. Now, not everybody can do what you just described because that's very specific, but I imagine that, you know, each person may have something that can be really leveraging something they're already doing.
Yeah. Let me give you another example. I had a client where he's an employee. He works as a software engineer. So, it's not like he has a business or anything like that. He was actually looking to do something different. And he had some money in his IRA. And he ended up taking about $80,000 or $90,000 of that. He self-directed it. And he's now making over $1,250 a month net cash flow from real estate properties that he's got. He bought 3 properties with that money. And that's not including that his renters are paying down the loans.
Right.
So they're building equity. That has nothing to do with appreciation. All the tax benefits he's now getting that he didn't have before as an employee. I mean, easily this guy's making at least $25,000 a year with just $80,000 or $90,000. I mean, that's just pretty awesome. That's pretty amazing. And so it's about creating that leverage. So that's the thing, again, that surprised people because they're thinking, okay, well, I'm just going to leave it in here. And hopefully someday it'll grow up to be this nice little nest egg.
Right.
What about cash flow today? How do we create some wealth today? And heck, if you start creating more cash flow, you start to really save that up. Now look what kind of quote unquote retirement you can have, right?
That's right. No, I like it. I like the thinking outside the box. What box? We're not getting in the box. In fact, I'm ripping the lid off the box. No way to close the lid on us, Chris. If you're just joining us, Chris Miles is our guest today, moneyripples.com. And he's got a free ebook, Beyond Rice and Beans, 7 Secrets to Free Up Cash Today. You can check that out on his website. And he's also got information about his podcasts and videos and other good stuff there. We'll grab a quick break. We'll come back and maybe dive into a little bit of the debt part of this and or other expenses that maybe you can cut. And so stay right there. We'll be right back with Chris.
Hi, I'm Teresa Rand with the Volusia Flagler YMCA. Our Y has 6 locations to help you reach your health and fitness goals. With a focus on healthy living, youth development, and social responsibility, there are many different options to get your family involved, such as sports, swim, exercise, and much more. For more information on how your Y can help with your health and fitness goals, check out www.vfymca.org.
All right, and we are back with Chris Miles, and moneyripples.com is the website. And, you know, before I get into some of the debt and cutting expenses part of it, I want to ask you another question, you know, that relates to leveraging your assets and your money. And very often people say, you know, I've got this money. You know, somebody's out there working, Chris. They've got their quote-unquote day job, or they've got something that they do that maybe they can somehow leverage or extend or do something else. And one of the things that sometimes I'm asked about, so I'd love to get your take on this, is sometimes some people will ask me about a franchise. What do you think about franchises and that being a way maybe for people to leverage or, you know, be able to, you know, that typically requires a buy-in and put money in, and then there may or may not be a need for them to be 100% active in that business. They may be able to hire other people. So what do you think about that as a leverage on your assets or your cash flow?
You know, it could be a great one.
Okay.
You know, it always depends on the person.
Sure.
There's never a good or bad investment typically. It's typically, are you what kind of person are you when you do that investment? That's what really matters. You know, how much knowledge do you have? Do you have passion for it regardless of the money? That really is, if you don't have passion for something, you're probably gonna botch it. You're just doing it for the paycheck.
Right.
Especially if you're doing a business, you're gonna be severely disappointed when you have those months, especially in the beginning, where maybe you're not getting paid. And franchises are no different. The nice thing is, at least the franchise, you can use things like IRA money and things like that, you know, qualified money to be able to invest in something of that nature, where if you start your own business, you really can't, you know, quote unquote, do a self-directed IRA into the business.
Right.
You know, you kind of use it, but not really. You're getting a write-off at the same time while paying taxes, right?
Yeah, yeah.
But a franchise, you do have that option.
Okay.
And, I've seen that work. I mean, and I've seen people, too, where, you know, sometimes a franchise option is not a great option because you maybe don't have the capital to be able to do it, even though there's franchises that are cheaper. There are cheaper ones that are maybe like $10,000, $20,000, $30,000, but usually they don't have a very good track record so far. They're usually a startup type of franchise. But I've seen people too, like, you know, if you're looking for the easier, less risky option when it comes to the capital, you might just go with the, you know, direct sales or network marketing, which is a business in and of itself, but you also have to create the business model that's already there.
Okay. All right. Well, that makes sense. I could help myself. I was curious because you're talking about leveraging and extending and maybe putting money to work to make more money instead of just letting it sit there perhaps. And, you know, it also depends on where somebody is in their phase of life and if they're, you know, either about to retire, approaching retirement, or in retirement. This may or may not be something for them, but for somebody who is still working, definitely some things to think about. Now, over on the cash outflow and what people are spending, you know, what are some of the things that you've seen there? I guess I'm always curious to know, you know, have you seen some pretty egregious situations where people are just spending a lot of money and just don't realize it or recognize it?
Yeah, you know, one big area is debt. You know, I've noticed a lot of people are spending a lot of money on loans, and sometimes just because they're trying to aggressively pay it off. I don't like to just aggressively pay off loans, especially where they're just trying to do it based on interest rate. I tell people to ignore the interest rate.
Really?
Right? Yeah, I don't want people to focus on that, because the thing is that when it comes to financial freedom, it really comes down to cash flow. How much more income do you have than your expenses? What's that big gap in between? Most people, however, when they're trying to pay off debt, they're making themselves go paycheck to paycheck.
Okay.
And even sometimes then, they're not even doing that well.
Right.
So they might try to pay off that car loan, but they're running up credit cards on the side.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, good point.
Or vice versa. And so that's where I want people to do it more methodically. And so when I have people do this, and I've had a lot of clients do this, is we try to refinance a lot of loans. We try to get the payments as low as possible so that the bottom line is lower. And this is especially important because where I work with a lot of entrepreneurs and their spouses, you know, a lot of them are trying to pay off loans. They want to get out of those loans, especially if they're starting to make money in their business. I actually try to slow them down and say, hey, I know you want to pay that off, but let's not make the required minimum payment higher. Because if you ever have a month, and this works even for people who are employees, if you ever have a month where it's bad, it's
right.
not doing well,
right?
You know, income goes down or you get laid off or something like that happens, now you're committed to making these higher payments.
That's
right.
Because
you want that 15-year mortgage instead of that 30-year mortgage or whatever it might be, right? So I try to get those payments as low as possible and then have the option to pay more to it.
Yeah.
And when I do, I just have them do it towards one loan. And,
okay.
You know, so I've had a few clients where I've actually had them like refinance and pay off certain loans with the cash that they had.
Yeah.
One guy, we used $70,000 to free up $40,000 a year.
Yeah.
Another one that we, between some of the refinancing and things like that, it was $100,000. We actually used his IRA money. He was 62 years old, but he was paycheck to paycheck in his business.
Yeah.
And I said, hey, why don't you use $100,000 of your $500,000, you know, refinance and pay off these loans, and that's $50,000 a year we guarantee you to free up.
Yeah. Oh, that's huge.
Well, here's what's interesting, because it's not just about this. Like, if we always look at it in a box, we always see one thing, but there's always a ripple effect.
Mm-hmm.
For him, he was seeing 3 years in a row where he's becoming more paycheck to paycheck, and getting to the point where he had no more passion to want to do his business.
Oh,
and
so it's even killing
and
his revenue.
Yeah, I said, hey, why don't we use $100,000 of this money? He said, yeah, but Chris, how am I going to retire? I said, hey, you're freeing up $50,000 a year. You'll make the money back in 2 years anyways, plus some. Yeah, but how am I going to retire? I finally just said, okay. It finally was his wife that said, honey, you still got $400,000. You're fine. And so we did it, freed up over $4,000 a month doing that, right? And then here's what happened. Now he started to relax a little bit. He started to breathe a little bit more and stop worrying. Because whenever he worried, people would come in his office. He knew he had to make money. and therefore people just subconsciously are kind of turned off by people that become
desperate. Oh, they pick up on that. Money. Yeah, sure.
They pick up, yeah. And so what happened, he relaxed, and all of a sudden his customer conversion ratios went up. He started making an extra $1,000 in some months, even $2,000 or more dollars a month, just because he was able to free up that money. Just because mentally and emotionally, he was in a better space. So overall, that year, he increased his cash flow by over $70,000, all with just $100,000 out of the IRA. I mean, that's an awesome rate of return.
That's excellent. And I do subscribe to the idea of paying off higher interest debt first and kind of have a very much a pecking order in terms of deductible versus non-deductible and all that. But all of that, and you made this point very well, and I think it's something that, it's implied, but for some people, they don't really... even though it may be implied, you still have to be kind of more explicit about it. And that is that, that these strategies for, and I subscribe to them, Chris, about paying off higher interest rate stuff first, they only make sense, and you put it very well, if you can handle the cash flow. And if you put yourself in a position to be so strapped, then it impairs your ability to do the work you need to do. It just has a negative ripple effect. And so I like your real practical approach there because, it's just, to be able to get things to where they're much more manageable. And you're right, Chris, a lot of people that are in that kind of paycheck to paycheck position, the first thing you got to do is make sure you're paying all your bills and not always behind and incurring extra charges. And now you're talking about, you may be working off your highest interest rate debt or card, but if you're ended up incurring high penalties and interest penalties because you're not, doing what you're supposed to do anyway, then it kind of is self-destructive, right?
Well, yeah. And let me give you another example where sometimes the interest rate can matter, but sometimes it doesn't as much as people think. Because the goal is, we want to pay those things off. It's just a method of how we go about doing it. Say, for example, you've got an extra $10,000 sitting around that you say, I could do something with this to pay off some loan. So you've got a $10,000 credit card. That's a high interest rate credit card. And you've got a $10,000 car loan. And you can only pay off one with that $10,000. Now, say the car loan's at 4% and say the credit card's at 18%. Well, most everybody would tell you, well, pay off that credit card, right? Because it's 18% and you're getting... you're paying an extra few hundred bucks in interest over the life of that loan. But my thing is, well, what's the payment? What's the required payments going on? So say that the car loan's $500 a month and the credit card's $200 a month.
Right.
I would tell them to pay off the car instead. Now you've got $500 freed up to do whatever. So if you have a decrease in income, no problem. It's better to be paying $200 a month than $500. Or if something else happens, you can always put that $500 onto that credit card and pay $700 a month to it now and do that whole snowball method, right?
Right, sure.
But my method is just more based on how can I spend the least amount of dollars? How can I, quote unquote, invest the least amount of dollars to free up the most money per month that gives me options of how I'm going to pay down these loans or use it otherwise? Because like you probably teach people, I'm sure, there's probably times you say, you know what, that mortgage, maybe we leave that one alone. Let's start investing that to make more money than what you'll be paying interest on that mortgage.
Yeah,
right?
Sure.
Things like that. So that's what it is. It just creates options. So we always try to figure out, and that's what I do with those two examples, is that I was trying to figure out what the least amount of dollars we can use to free up the most amount of cash every single month.
Well, and it might be,
how we get the biggest bang for our buck.
Yeah, exactly. And it might be too, Chris, that, by not paying off that credit card, depending on the person's situation, it might help them not put more on the credit card. If they wipe out the credit card and that credit card is available, can they resist the, it may just be something where we have to not play mind games with ourselves, but just be honest about, what that's going to mean. So good stuff, Chris. Chris Miles, ladies and gentlemen, moneyripples.com is the website. Don't forget the free ebook over there, Beyond Rice and Beans, the 7 secrets to free up cash today. And we're going to grab a quick break. We come back. We're going to dive into some other details on this. It's fascinating stuff with Chris. In fact, we'll ask Chris to help us find $4,000 in 45 minutes, a challenge after the break.
Where can you find more spin than in politics? If you said financial services, you'd be correct. Just ask a stockbroker or insurance agent how you should invest your money, and what do you think they would say? Unfortunately, if an advisor is limited in what he can offer, that advisor is often understandably biased. You need to ask questions like what products and services they can and cannot offer. Ask about their licensing and credentials. Remain skeptical. This PSA has been brought to you by Holland Financial, who wants to help you to plan stronger. For more information, call 671-PLAN or visit planstronger.com. Do you have financial questions you'd like answered on this show? Send them to questions@planstronger.com. You will remain anonymous.
All right, we're back. Chris Miles on the line, and moneyripples.com is the website. And I wanted to, you know, tee that up for the before the break. And I could use an extra $4,000, Chris. And I can. We can't do it. We don't have 45 minutes left. But what, you know, can people really do that? Is that something where somebody can say, "Look, here's ways to free that up and find that money"?
Oh, absolutely. You know, for example, one thing I teach as a basis of where to start is tracking your money. Right?
Yeah, sure.
Not just what you spend, but what you're making and what you're spending. Because you got to look at both. It's interesting because people that are spenders want to ignore what they're spending, but they'll pay attention to the income.
Yeah.
People that are savers, who are also based on that scarcity mentality, which is not a good mentality to be a part of, you know, savers will only look at the expenses, but they forget about how to make more money.
Right.
And so we want both. Mm. We want to see how we increase our income and at least maximize the productivity of our expenses, right? And so so a lot of times to get people to track their money easily, you're probably going to find about $300 a month just doing that. Even if you think you're being pretty cheap, most people that are tracking their money that I've run into will find at least $300 a month.
Wow.
And if, you know, with a lot of people I deal with are business owners, if they're really busy, I tell them, like, hey, if you feel like you're too busy to track your money, you're probably overspending at least $500 a month, which is $6,000 a year, right?
Right. Yeah.
$300 a month, that's $3,600 a year. That's almost $4,000 right there. So that's a good start.
What's a good way to track it? Is there, you have a particular, you know, you like the idea of people using credit cards so they can really see the statement of spending every month? Or is there another idea that's a better way to do it?
Well, you don't have to. I mean, I have some clients that do that, and that's a great method, especially if you've got some rewards and bonuses that way. But usually I like to use online tools, something that makes it easier, right? Because you could put on a credit card, but the problem is if you do have a credit card, you still have to do all the math.
Yeah.
And you're subject to human error. And so I like to use tools that do the work for me, that get me to be accountable. Tools like Mint.com.
Okay,
M-I-N-T,
yeah, sure.
Great one to track because I love seeing all my finances in one place. Not just what I'm spending, but, hey, I love to see where my savings and checking balances are and loan balances and everything else, seeing it all real time in one place. And then, yes, it does track the transactions and even categorizes it for you, which is pretty cool. So when you know you can go in and see a week's worth of income and expenses and in 4 or 5 minutes know exactly where you are financially and be able to stay financially fit, that's pretty cool. So I like tools like that.
Yeah.
For those that are business owners, I don't recommend they use that tool. I recommend they use things like, you know, QuickBooks or something like that.
Oh, yeah,
right?
Sure. But for the individual,
yeah,
Mint could work.
One, and I know somebody, I had a client that they're starting to use an app called Wave. That for them, that was a really good app to use. And it's, again, it's another free one, too. So there's all kinds of methods, but I like to use something that does the math for you just so you make sure you don't screw it up.
I like that. Well, and so, you know, there's a lot we could cover, but I wanted to make sure we hit a couple other things. So what about to somebody out there that listening to this, Chris, and says, okay, look, sounds good, guys, I get it, but I don't have a lot to work with. Is there a way for them to, you know, to improve their position, to make money without money?
You know, there is. You know, one of the best ways to do that is to understand that you already know how to make money without money, so I don't realize it. Because everybody will, you know, I get people saying all the time, Chris, I'd love to make more money, but I don't have any money. So until I make money, I can't make money.
Mm-hmm.
And I tell people, I say, listen, like, if that were a true belief, if that really were true, that you had to have money to make money, listen, you would never survive college. You would never have money today. You'd been dead. Because, hey, very few of us ever had any money in high school or college, right?
Right.
But somehow we have money. You know, I tell people, like, that's just ridiculous. You know, as Charles Barkley would say, that's just ridiculous, right?
Yeah, exactly.
But
you knucklehead. That's his other favorite
one. You knucklehead.
Yeah. That's funny.
Yeah, but here's the reality is that you already know how to do it. It's how we use our strengths, our passions, how we take action in serving people. Really, dollars follow the value you create for other people. Your resume, I mean, whether you have a resume or not, you have a resume. You have education, training, experiences, natural gifts or strengths, and things like that. You could serve people in a way where they say, listen, I want that value in my life, and I'm willing to exchange dollars to get that value in my life.
Hmm.
I mean, I tell people all the time that are in business, they're like, well, I'm not sure how to make money. Well, does anybody ever ask you, hey, can I pick your brain for a minute?
Yeah.
That's a gold mine. If they're telling you that, they're saying, I want to pay you money, even though they're not telling you that because you've got to ask for it.
Right.
You know, same thing. If somebody says, can you do this for me? Hey, they want your service. Why don't you provide it? Because really making money is all about how you provide service, solutions, and add value. And the better you are at adding value and providing service and providing solutions, the more money you can make.
Is there a way for people, Chris, is there a way for people to kind of match up? We've got less than a minute here, but match up those skills or knowledge or experiences to some actual specific things that they can make money about? Is there any, you know, of any ways to really, you know, kind of leverage something that may already be out there?
Yeah, you know, an easy way to do this is actually pull your friends and family. You know, and even people that might be acquaintances, just ask them, hey, you know, I'm trying to find out, you know, some of my key strengths or gifts, right? You just ask them, say, hey, what is it you can count on me for? What is it you see in me that you think is very unique or that I do really well? Like, what is it about me? It could be characteristics or traits, things like that. And ask them. And it's amazing. Sometimes even the acquaintances, people you might have only known for a few months, will give you the same responses as people have known you your whole life. And I tell people, pull at least 10 to 15 people and find the common thread. Because that common thread, if everybody's saying the same thing, that's, I call that get a clue. That could be the very place where you can make the most money. Find that out. And that's where, if you go back to your employer, ask your employer, hey, what can I do to add value to you and the company that would merit me a raise? And don't come from a place of entitlement, but just come from a place of wanting to add value. And watch what happens. I've had so many clients increase their income by sometimes thousands of dollars a month just by asking that very question, because nobody else asked that question.
All right. Well, they got to ask it, Chris. Chris Miles, ladies and gentlemen, the cash flow expert, moneyripples.com. Free ebook, Beyond Rice and Beans, 7 Secrets to Free Up Cash Today. Chris, we'll have you back. Thank you very, very much for being with us.
Hey, you're welcome. Thanks a lot.
Today's edition of Real Money Radio has been brought to you by Holland Financial, conveniently located on Granada Boulevard in Ormond Beach. Could you benefit from a one-on-one confidential conversation with David Holland, or would you like a second opinion to make sure that you're on the right track? Call Holland Financial at 671-PLAN or visit us at planstronger.com to schedule your no-obligation consultation. David looks forward to discussing the financial issues that matter most to you. The host of Real Money Radio, David Holland, is a certified financial planner with over 20 years of experience. And because David provides advice to clients on a daily basis, his hyperactive compliance department wants us to tell you that David Holland is an investment advisor representative of Holland Advisory Services, a registered investment advisory firm. He offers insurance and annuity products through Holland Insurance Services. Commentary given during this radio program should not be considered investment, insurance, tax, or legal advice. Views expressed concerning specific securities are not an offer to buy or sell. Investment advice and planning services can only be given after an analysis of an individual situation and only where Holland Advisory Services is registered or exempt from registering. Real Money Radio is produced by Holland Productions.